Well, thank you very much indeed. Before we started, I thought I'd better just define what forensics is. And so I had a little debate, actually, with Sue Black as to what forensic science actually is. And we eventually decided that it's actually the sciences as applied to the justice system. But, of course, the issue is that those sciences have very, very broad applicability. And a major issue, of course, is how we can use science to prevent people ever getting into the justice system in the first place. And so the science that is used to identify who done it, what was at the scene of the crime, where did the gun come from, is equally important, potentially, when applied to preventing crime happening in the first place. Why do a report on forensic science? Well, it's applicable to three of the major areas in which the Government Office for Science works. So the first of those is resilience, national resilience, our infrastructure, our human built infrastructure, our natural infrastructure and our social infrastructure. It's about evidence for government policy and forensic science. There are many emerging technologies which are being applied to forensic sciences and indeed to other areas. And so for all of these reasons, forensic science seemed an apposite topic for a piece of work. And I should say at the outset that this report wouldn't have been possible without the input of many experts, and Derek Raston and Sue Black are two of very many to whom it's a great opportunity to say publicly, say thank you. Last year I talked about my first annual report, which was about innovation and how we manage risk rather than avoiding it. And there's no doubt that the sciences as applied to forensic, many of them are innovative. They carry their own risks, and we have to work out how we can use those sciences in the most effective way for benefit and avoid the risks. So there's no question that the landscape of modern forensics is changing. Our analytical tools mean that we can measure substances at a greater sensitivity than ever before. But of course, with that increased sensitivity comes the question of specificity. And of course, the domains in which we can measure things have increased spectacularly as well. And of course, there is now the whole digital world, and our movements can be traced in the digital world in ways that were never possible before. And so that footprint that we leave electronically is now extraordinary. And, of course, it's quite topical because the debate is going on in the United States in the court system at the moment about forensic evidence held on an encrypted Apple iPhone. And we could probably have a debate on that single topic alone. There's also, I think, as we move into globalized markets, and increasingly we buy our objects of every sort virtually until they, of course, arrive physically through a letterbox or through a delivery system, do we know whether the goods we receive are the goods that we thought we were buying? Are they authentic? Are they what they say they are on the tin? And equally, in cyberspace, how do we know whether the organization that we're interacting is what it says it is? And, of course, the challenge of phishing attacks, spelt with a PH rather than an F, just illustrates the fact that actually it's very easy to pretend to be an organization in the virtual world. And, of course, the challenge is a two-way one, because if you are an organization dealing with one of us over the internet, how do we know that you are who you say you are? And so that question about identity and authentication and assurance on the online world has become a new and increasingly important problem. And then there are all of the questions of governance, and cyberspace in particular is a very complex environment where it's not governed by any single sovereign nation. And again, one can see that playing out through the court system in terms of how governments potentially have access, how criminal justice systems have access to information that may be held in another sovereign territory. And of course, equally, crimes are now committed in multiple jurisdictions simultaneously. So it is a changing landscape in which forensics is happening. But as I've already hinted, those analytical techniques which are important in the courtroom are equally important outside. So this particular water doesn't claim to be anything. No, it does. It claims to be pure. But what does pure mean? So Royal Society, pure sparkling water. Well, I've no doubt it will sparkle if I take the top off, but I think if I put it through some of the analytical techniques in Derek Creston's laboratory, we may find it's not quite as pure as is claimed. And that raises some really important questions. So we are increasingly interested about the claims that products make. So water used to be water, but it now makes claims. It makes claims to have come from particular volcanic lakes. Honey makes claims to come from a particular pollen in derived from a bees foraging on a particular pollen in New Zealand, for example. How do we actually know that those products are what they say they are? And what do the other chemicals in this water actually matter? Probably for our health, absolutely nothing. So these issues about provenance, authenticity, and how we can be assured of the provenance and authenticity of objects in the material world is an increasingly important question, where there are, of course, market opportunities, because actually if you can demonstrate that your product is what it says it is, increasingly the restaurant, it's not just a piece of beef, it's a piece of beef that's come from Daisy in a particular field. And, of course, the truth is that we now have the technology where we could be assured that that was the case. And so the challenge is for policymakers to work out how to deal with this. There are these new classes of information, new class of evidence, new ways in which we can link people to places. But just because there's a piece of DNA in a particular place doesn't necessarily mean that that person was physically there themselves. And so there's the whole challenge of working out whether associations are true or false positive. And there is the whole question about how we actually use this technology to prevent crime occurring in the first place. So there's lots of opportunities. But just going back to the courtroom, and I think Sue will probably say more about this in a minute, there is a huge challenge of communication. So there are many uses of forensic science before it ever gets to the courtroom. How does a sample get collected? Which bits it were analysed? There's the whole evidential trail from the collection of the sample in the first place and how it was collected all the way to when it's finally used in the courtroom. And so the issue about consistency of communication, consistency, how we communicate, the whole issue of common standards in a world where there are multiple suppliers of forensic services, how we work together and how we're clear, these are very important issues. And so some of the questions that the report asked, and it basically posed a series of challenges to policymakers, are, for example, what forum should provide the opportunity for discussions between the different participants in the justice system about the nature and the significance of the applications and the interpretation of forensic approaches and tests? A particular difficulty is how should information, especially the measurement and the communication of the uncertainties, be provided to a court in a manner that's clear and can be understood by all of the participants in the legal process? Who is horizon scanning to see what new technologies are on the horizon and how they might be relevant and applicable? And what is the best pathway from the development of a technology and a potential application in forensics to its application in the court? So in the world of medicine, there are phase one studies, there are clinical trials, there's a regulated approach. What should be the approach when a new technology, a new application of an existing technology applies and arrives in the court system? Secondly, this issue that I've already raised, which is the growing role of cyberspace. It is the fastest growing domain of criminality around the world. It's very, very difficult because the amount of evidence on an individual hard disk may be enormous. How do you deal with it when it's damaged? So the complexity of analysis of computers and other hardware is extremely difficult. There's a cyber skills shortage. And there is a global challenge here, which is how do we work across national domains? One area which is extremely important is the world I've come from, which is the world of medicines, which is that the WHO International Medicines Products Counterfeiting Task Force estimate that up to 25% of the total medicine supply in some of the economically less developed countries is counterfeit. And I vividly remember in Vietnam a number of years ago being shown a whole array of artemisinin anti-malarial tablets in packs and being asked to work out which was the fake and which was the genuine one. The fact that I couldn't do it is neither here nor there, but the fact was that the physician who worked in the environment with this stuff every day got it wrong. And so this is a huge problem. And whilst we worry, and there's been an enormous amount of activity on the counterfeiting of CDs or films or whatever, this is actually potentially murder if you receive a counterfeit antimalarial drug. And just recently, the EU has passed a directive around counterfeiting. And there is an enormous potential opportunity here, because how do we assure this supply chain? And so there's something about what are the products and services where it's most important to assure the supply chains and authenticity. This is obviously an area which is very important. What's the role of standards, of regulation, of enforcement mechanisms? And what's the role of standards and kite marks to help both consumers and the providers of goods and services? Currency is an area where forensic approaches of different sorts have been applied over centuries to try and make coins less susceptible to counterfeiting. And so in medieval coins, those crosses were put to the edge of the coins so to prevent clipping. And so if more than one of the crosses was cut off, then the coin was clipped and not legal tender. And of course, the introduction of milling, the role of Wren, a fellow of this society, was very important in terms of developing and using early forensic approaches to actually prevent crime with currency. And it's much better to prevent it than to do the terrible things that they did to forgers in those days. So it's actually about identifying the early opportunities for temptation and also making objects less valuable when they're actually stolen. And so what more could be done using forensic techniques to design out crime using both existing and new technologies? And of course, we know that a significant fraction of pound coins in circulation at the moment are forged, and the mint is always designing new, hence there will be a new pound coin introduced sometime very soon. We've recently produced a report from the Government Office of Science on distributed ledgers. And this is a disruptive technology which can be enabled to help design out crime. And so a distributed ledger is essentially an electronic ledger where a legitimate change in one copy of the ledger made by someone who is either authorized to do so or who in an unpermissioned system solves a cryptographic puzzle, that change is changed in all copies of the ledger virtually simultaneously. And if someone illegitimately tries to change one copy, it's rejected. And the great thing about distributed ledgers is that you can build in other algorithms. So you can build in smart contracts, consents, and so health records are one area where distributed ledger technology has great potential. Because not only can it potentially hold records very securely, but it can record the fact that I have consented to A or B or C. And so there's all sorts of opportunities for this technology. And the reason that there are some diamonds at the bottom is that one early commercial implementation of this is by a company called Everledger. And this uses distributed ledger technology to track diamonds through the supply chain. And so in principle, you can keep blood diamonds out of the supply chain and trace them all the way through. This is a technology, frankly, that it's in its very early stages of development. It was developed as the technology to enable a digital currency in the form of blockchain and Bitcoin, but its potential is much broader. It has the potential to help to assure critical infrastructure by working out whether a control system has been tampered with, for example. So, in summary, we are in a very fast-moving environment, forensic science, and the challenge and the opportunity is for the UK to gain the most advantage from this, because we're good at forensic science in the UK. And of course, the work of Alec Jeffries really brought DNA identification as a forensic tool to the start. But DNA variation, which was initially in Alec Jeffries' hands no more than a barcode, we can now learn much more information about people from understanding their DNA sequences. That then gets into a values debate, which is how much is society prepared to go along with this? What are the limits for this? And I think that we would all have personal views on how far we should go. But how can we best support the effective use of emerging forensic techniques? How can we ensure that there's trust? And in order to do this, we need to be trustworthy in the way we use it. We need to understand the reliability of our measurement techniques. We need to recognize the importance of false positives and also false negative results. What are the acceptable boundaries? And again, the question is, what forum or fora should we debate these important issues in? So in conclusion, forensic science draws on many, many disciplines of science and goes far beyond the justice system alone. If it's to stay state-of-the-art, the innovation can come from almost anywhere. And I think the challenge and the opportunities is that forensic techniques should be able to increase confidence in many markets of the sorts I've talked about, when we are interested in where things come from, who organisations are on the internet, who people are. And so for that reason, we felt it was an important topic for a report. The full thing is available on the internet, and it has a whole series of questions for policymakers, only some of which I've been able to summarise in the last few minutes. So thank you for your attention.